First Baptist Church of Redmond, December 16th, 2018. The Son gives us the Father.
Please rise. Readings from Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. May be seated.
Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 is one of the most commonly spoken about scripture passages in the whole Bible. And as we look at it, we're going to look at a phrase that is perhaps the most neglected of the four components of words. We're going to look at the concept of Everlasting Father. Forgive me. I'm looking at Joe and say forgive me. You forgive me now? Forgive me. We posed that a few years ago down at the Sci-Fi Museum, and I forced my children to post that picture, so thank you very much. The children learn about people from what people say about them. So, for better or worse, children will tell you what their father is like, but you know ahead of time what we're like. You know the bad influences I have had on them. Yeah, we've done that in public places. We won't be doing that today when we're seeing public places. We do all this kind of stuff. But I wanted to post some things that, if you're into genealogy, what is that?
Census.
That is a census record. That is a 1930 census record from the state of Arkansas. The last name there is Johnston. And you will see a wife, a husband of mine. Unfortunately, in my family, a commonly repeated name began with W. It was Redfall. So the head of this household is Redfall Johnston, poor guy. But as I look at there are more Redfall Johnston. So there was, notice that there was one son and three daughters born into this family. And Russell D. Johnston. My dad was the oldest child, and that's as far back as I can find anything that's family connected. So, if you're going to learn about some of my family, for better or worse, you're going to hear about it from me. If we look in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6,
we will see some things that we learn about the Son of God, our Savior, Jesus, and the prophecy and how he influences our view of other things. Isaiah chapter 9 verse, I know how a Handel has to sing it. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. Trust me, those are four sets of two words each. So the first description of Jesus is as the Wonderful Counselor. The next description, he is the Mighty God. The one we're going to look at today, which is almost never spoken about, is Everlasting Father. We're very familiar with Prince of Peace. But all of these are descriptions of Jesus and how his connection in prophecy with God instructs us about truths about God, God's power, God's prophecy, and what God is doing. Everlasting Father, as I've said, is the one description we speak of less than all the others. But yet, there it is, Everlasting Father. Family has an incredible influence in our lives. For better or for worse, very rarely is someone's relationship with their family neutral. For myself, I speak about my family on occasion. I know my parents loved me. That was very, very significant in my young life. I know my parents loved me. This made a big difference to me. You know that I was born in uncertain circumstances in 1960, and my mother made the decision to keep me when there were various pressures on my family in general and her specifically for me not to be here with you today. My grandparents... you saw Russell Johnston. He was actually my grandfather. His wife was, what a great name, Goldie Jewel. First and middle names. adopted me the next year, 1961, because that was the best choice at that time. And they became my parents and raised me as their own. You have a chance to influence how people view you, even if you have to fight against wrong or difficult perceptions. I've talked a little bit about this in the past, but my arrival on the scene and the subsequent activities we've spoken about now, adoption, caused a few ripples in the pond of my immediate and extended family. Today, when we speak of God as our Father, sometimes have no idea what our Father in heaven is like. Some people will refer to God as our Heavenly Father. We will do that, but some people do that with a perhaps perspective that is different than I might have. Sometimes people perceive God differently as he really is because they do not know him themselves. Jesus is the one who shows us the Father. This third of the four couplets in Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is the everlasting Father, and because he is connected as God of very God, that goes back to our comments about Nicholas of Myra. But Jesus stresses in the New Testament, and John the writer stresses that Jesus is the one who displays us what the Father is like. They share the same nature, the same character. They have the same mission. People have an easier time then understanding Jesus because he walked among us. He was one of us. And as one with God the Father, remember John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Jesus too has the characteristics of the everlasting Father. He shows us our Father is everlasting. He is one who will never leave us. We are in the palm of his hand. John chapter 10 continues that. The issue is that no one has seen God. We've seen Jesus. The Holy Spirit appeared in the form of a dove. But we have not seen God. Sometimes when the Father has appeared, he's been connected with some kind of light, some kind of brightness. But the Son, Jesus Christ, who is the closest possible to him, knows him best. We talked about this before, John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was, our original language is very descriptive, was with God. The preposition with in the original language of the Bible is the source of the Greek word for face. So the concept is, if I am with God, I am face to face with him. So Jesus was close, in an intimate, personal relationship, and how can two walk together unless they are in agreement? So Jesus was close to, connected with, in agreement with all the things about the Father. And as John 1:18 says, New American Standard updated, no one has seen God at any time, the only begotten God who's in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. I don't know about you, I get tired and upset when I read articles or books that purport to talk to us about God, and they will speak about the God of the Old Testament being an angry tyrant and the God of the New Testament being one of compassion and love, and nothing could be more mistaken, farther from the truth. Because the God of the Old Testament is the God that we still have today, who was the God before the Old Testament was written. The word explained there is the source of the English word hermeneutics, which talks about the study of researching, studying, understanding, and explaining what God's words in the Bible have to say. So Jesus serves, if I can extend that, in a thorough explanatory way for us to show what the Father is like. Luke chapter 15 has three parables. It has a parable of the Father, and shown as the one who is seeking us. Because wasn't there 101? Wasn't there one coin out of 10? And wasn't there one child out of 2 that needed to be sought? And as Jesus told these stories, he's presenting this in a way so that we can see that God is seeking us. Something else that perturbs me is when I hear people speak about, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. I connect with the higher power. I put my hands behind the television and feel the flow. If you know Jesus as your Savior, so I'm going to focus in on this now, 1 Corinthians 8. If you know Jesus as your Savior, a benefit of following Him is that you can know God as Father. You don't have to be concerned about seeking, choosing, purportedly selecting some spiritual influence or higher power. 1 Corinthians 8:6, there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. There is one God. People will ask, aren't we all God's children? Ephesians chapter 4, first several verses, speaks to us about things that we have in common, but forgive me, these aren't things that all of humanity has in common. Ephesians chapter 4 speaks about the things held in common about those who are disciples of Jesus Christ. It tells us that once we are followers of the Son, we have one God and Father over us all. Earlier in this chapter, we see that this is teaching unity of believers, as Paul speaks to you, believers in Christ. God is the God of all those who believe in the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you look at those verses on the side, Jesus spoke about the fatherhood of the rest of humanity. John 8:44, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. Jesus never claimed all of humanity had God as their father. As a matter of fact, what we have in common is we were by once children of wrath. Wrath is God's decided penalty and judgment about the future. When we look at Revelation, Revelation is a book of judgment, of wrath, and of the kingdom. Because only when God judges and satisfies his just requirements can the kingdom begin. Because of the fall, because we're only human, each of us enters this world without a father relationship with God. We're natural born sinners, if we can twist it that way. David's quote, "In sin did my mother conceive me," shows that this idea has been known for a very long time. At least 3,000 years, people have understood, people who are connected with God, that we were born as sinful individuals. The Bible tells us that apart from God and knowing God as Father, we are all children of wrath. We only know God as Father through His Son, Jesus Christ. How do we relate to God? I'm related, I put the picture up for this reason, I'm related to Russell Johnston as father by adoption. One of the stresses in my family is that I was the first grandchild born, but I became a son. And that wrinkled a few feathers. Because I was not naturally in that position. We were not naturally in the position of being God's children. We just saw the screen. We were originally children of wrath, even as all the others. But God destined us for adoption as His children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of His will. We were chosen. The Bible plainly speaks of this in that verse. This adoption is final. It does not have an expiration term. Once you enter God's family, you enter into it. He will never stop being His Father. Jesus lives to intercede for us if this were ever necessary. The Spirit formalizes this. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. Not temporarily, but permanently placing us in God's family. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. We strive for the boldness and dependence of a child upon our Father in heaven. Christmas. Kids expect something, don't they? Can I have a cookie? Can I have a hot chocolate? When would we get a tree? Should I make a Christmas list now? Or will you just give me cash? Children expect. Why? Because they expect parents to love them, to bless them. God is not ashamed to be our Father and call us His children. And this God's love People say, how can you know God? This God's love is knowable, discoverable by his children, no matter how misunderstandings and temporarily mar our relationship together. Families have conflict, yes? You betcha, sometimes. But the idea is if you love each other, you work it out, at least you put up with each other, at least you're quiet sometimes. Amen?